Here's a fun fact before we start episode 49 of the Hobcast. My voice will affects recording equipment in different ways. And sometimes what happens is the EQ is all crazy. I mean, you're hearing it fine now. But if you're trying to record via Skype, there's a couple programs that I would not recommend. So I'm not going to use that one anymore. But I managed to save the file, so you're going to hear that. And I've cleaned it up quite a bit. So you're welcome. And enjoy episode 49 of the Hobcast featuring special guest Maury Valeriano of the Road Stories podcast. Enjoy.
Do you recall the magic lands where creatures dwelled and terrorized the common man? We've heard the tales of beasts of old, of goblin kings, of monsters and their evil plans. But poor Hob the Troll, he's a very happy soul. Though he's not fond of boots, he's guaranteed to tingle your funny bone. His teeth may be big, but it makes a bigger grin. He lives underneath a bridge, and he's a friend to just about everyone. Hob the Troll, you turn into his hob, yes, it will soothe.
Welcome to the Hobcast. It's me, Hob the Troll, because why wouldn't it be? And I'm here with my new friend, Maury Valeriano. Hello.
How are you, Hob the Troll? Thank you for pronouncing my name right.
Why, thank you. I practiced.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
All right. Just under your bridge, just going over and over it?
Yes. You know, when you have guests on, it's very important that you pronounce their name correctly.
Well, you should spread the word, Troll, because a lot of us humans don't don't abide by that rule.
Yeah, it's just a thing that people, it's a common courtesy. And sometimes it's easier because I've heard you speak on podcasts and also just having I've heard you yourself say your name.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes it's a bit difficult if you're just reading it off a screen or something.
Oh, that brings up an interesting point, something I've been very curious about. Is there a different language for most trolls, or any kind of, what would the word be?
Vernacular?
Yeah.
Sometimes. And people have a lot of weird misconceptions about trolls, and I address this from time to time in my own podcast, but we speak whatever we're speaking at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I've learned many languages, but I all speak them poorly.
Uh-huh, all right. Well, good.
Gem apple, hobble troll.
Oh, that's
French.
Hold on, let me get my troll to English dictionary.
Oh. So what, you have a troll to English dictionary?
I'm looking for it, because I never knew when it would come in handy, but something said, hey, you know what? Pick it up. It might come in handy soon.
Was it like at a garage sale and it was just like, because I can't imagine you would spend too much money on that.
Oh, it's 25 cents.
See, that's perfect.
Yeah. And now I can write it off. Thank you.
Oh, yes, that's right. This is a house business. See, that's count for a business expense. Now, you do a podcast.
I do.
called the Road Stories Podcast. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's about comedians just talking about all the crazy stuff that happens on the road, man. And the best stories are the ones that are not on stage and the ones you won't hear about on late night talk shows.
That's right. And you talk to all sorts of comedians.
All sorts. Mostly human, though. I apologize.
Oh, it's fine. I understand. There's not a lot of there's a lot of trolls who take the funny, but
yeah. Oh, really? Is it? Are there a lot of troll inside jokes like I wouldn't get?
Yeah, I did a thing where it was like, I don't even know if I should be talking about this, but I'll talk about it anyway. There's a Facebook group for other troll performers, and they're all real nice people. And when I say people, I mean trolls. We call those people too. But you, but it's like they're very nice. I don't know how well I'd get along with all of them.
Interesting. You know? This is spicy.
I guess it's more. It's just. Well, so okay, so you're on. But you talk to a lot of comedians, all different kinds of comedians.
Sure. Yes.
And. You don't have to, I mean, it brings out different temperaments, but you're not expected to get along with every single comedian, though.
Oh, right? No, not at all, especially comedians.
Right, and there's sometimes where it's like, you know, I like this person, and I'll do a show with them, but I don't know if I could ride to a gig with them.
Ooh, yes, no, exactly. You find out a lot about a person when you're in the car with them for 5 hours.
Exactly. Now, but I heard a couple of them that you actually record in a vehicle.
In a car, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Do trolls drive or do trolls drive cars? I'm very fascinated with your life. I apologize.
It's just a regular old troll life. I mean, I think we have more in common. Oh, pardon me. As just touring comedians.
Oh, sure.
You know, going from gig to gig.
Yes, yes.
But mine are more, couple month engagements.
Oh, wow, that long.
Yes, it's you get a contract, and it's for a couple of months, and either they have a place for you to stay up there, or you find a place yourself. But a lot of Renaissance Festival performers, we have a lot in common with the traveling. Stand-up comedians.
Yes.
Yes. Different kinds of stories. But you talk to all sorts of comedians. Have you ever talked to anybody who also works the festival circuit?
We have different kinds of festival in the comedy world. You know that we have our comedy festivals and now our podcast festivals. Now, are you talking about a Renaissance festival?
Oh yeah, because I know a couple of people who are on the circuit who also do a handful of, you know, they're also stand-up comedians.
Let me think. I'm trying to think if I've had anybody who works the run. For some reason I feel like I do, but I am blanking on it right now.
All right. As I was saying before, but you've recorded a couple episodes actually. In a vehicle.
Yes, I set up the equipment in the vehicle and we drive to the gig. Mm-hmm. We do our show and then we drive back and talk about the gig. And I always I always pick the gigs that could be kind of sketchy. I never pick a sold out night at the Irvine Improv or anything like that. I pick a Wednesday night at a bar gig somewhere in a desert where things could go horribly, horribly wrong. And they usually do. It makes for good podcasts.
That's right, because if you're looking, if there's a gig you're looking forward to, you don't really want to do like a post-mortem over a set.
Yeah. Well, what I've learned about doing my podcast is people don't want to hear how great you are and how funny you were and how much you killed. They want to hear the struggle, how poorly you did, the argument you got into with the waiter, and the fight you almost got into from the woman's husband who heckled you.
Yeah. Oh, see, it's pretty much the same with Renaissance Festival performers, but for us, it's like, all right, we have to, you know, we start performing around 10 in the morning, and then we have to pretty much be on until like around 6, 7 or so. And we get, you know, it's like on, you know, 40 minutes off, you know, 20 or whatever.
Right.
Different performers have different sketches, schedules. You know, with comedians, you go in, you do your set, and then that's pretty much it. You're not going to, unless you're headlining, you're not doing the same exact set.
Actually, I think that's different. When I headline, I do a different set. All right, it seems to vary up more because you have more time.
Mm-hmm.
So you can take your time and you can venture out into different topics in an hour. When you're doing the middle spot, which is the second spot on a show, you're confined sometimes to 15 minutes. So you want to get in, you want to kick butt, and you want to get out.
Right, and also it gives people who are going to see you at both sets something to look forward to.
Yeah, I definitely try to vary it up. I have not, especially since, because I haven't written a lot of new material lately, so I need to riff so it comes off as a different show.
Yeah, well, you tour regularly and you perform regularly. How many times a month do you perform usually?
Oh, well, I don't know. I try to go out on the road one weekend a month, so that's Thursday through Sunday right there, which is 6 shows. But I mean, it could be anywhere from 6 shows to 24 to 50.
Wow.
Yeah. I try to get out. Even when I'm in town, I still work. So like tonight I got a spot. Last night I did a spot. Friday I had off, but Thursday and Wednesday I did a spot, 2 spots.
Okay. See with festival, it's we have, you know, assigned scheduled times, and usually it's the same show over again, but the time at which you do it can be a totally different show.
Oh, really? Oh, well, that's interesting. Why is that?
So, like, let's say you have a show in you've got 4 scheduled shows.
Yes. Right?
4 or 5 scheduled shows. The first one, it's kind of light because you're getting there right in the beginning of the day. And the people who are coming into the fair, they're just trying to, you know, they're just getting their feet wet.
They're just getting their feet wet, is what you said?
You know, they're not really as...
Uh-huh.
Still trying to figure out, oh, what we're going to do today. And maybe they sit down and see your show. But the second set, they've walked around. Maybe they've had a couple of beers and it's outside and it's hot, so it goes farther. And they're more likely to laugh.
Sure.
Third set, you might be up against another show that's really big, so you might have a hard time pulling a crowd, and then your last show of the day might just be crazy because everybody's been drinking in the sun, and they've been there all day, and they're tired, and they're antsy, and you have to, even though you're doing the same show, you got to kind of change the energy.
Well, that's not too much different from stand-up, because, well, you think, all right, Thursday shows are going to be light.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, Friday first show, they're going to be a little tight because they just got off work and they ran to scamper around to get to the early show.
Mm-hmm.
Second show Sunday night is historically awful because now they get off work at 6. They have 4 hours, so they meet for dinner and drinks and get drunk by the time they get to their 2-drink minimum in the Friday show.
Yes.
So Friday shows are terrible. Generally speaking, Saturday shows are fun. The early show and the second show are fun. And then Sunday shows are light unless you're on a Father's Day or like a Memorial Day weekend or something like that. So you vary up your you vary up your energy. I try not to vary up my attitude. I try to have the same attitude for every show, which is kick ass. But it can be hard, as I'm sure you know.
I do indeed. But you travel when you're recording different podcasts. I noticed that, you know, on some shows they have regular guests that come in all the time.
Uh-huh.
Like you're one of the 4 co-hosts of Rock Solid.
Yes.
And we had Mr. Pat Francis in here.
A very good man.
Yeah. Still waiting for him to say that he was on this show on his show, but, you know.
I think I might have mentioned I was doing your show on the last time I recorded Rock Solid, which was last week. I think. I apologize if I didn't, but I will on mine. How's that?
That's great.
Yes.
That's great. But you, on your show, you have all different kinds of guests all the time. I really like.
Yeah, well, thank you. But you can't, I'm the guy who's on there all the time, so they don't want to hear the same story I have. So when you get to a certain level of comedian, your shitty road gigs, excuse my French, tend to get less and less because you work a higher quality club and people are there to see you. So I need to vary it up. So, people don't keep hearing my stories over and over, and we need time for other comedians to acquire a new story.
I really like that, and I like that there's such a variety of comics.
Right. And also, a lot of comedy podcasts are, and I'm in a couple, you know, are, it's a club, basically. You know, a lot of them won't have comics on unless they have a name, and... you know, thank God I'm fortunate enough to be in those podcasts, but I don't like that attitude at all. So I want to break other comedians on my show. I love it when my listeners love to hear Chris Hardwick, love Maria Bamford, love to hear Brian Regan, but they're also love to discover new comedians.
Yeah. And when it comes to those other, you know, the huge, you know, your Chris Hardwicks, it's like you were saying, you're going to get some of the same people. Oh, I heard this person tell this story on another podcast.
Right, right.
They're on a tour promoting a thing.
Yeah. Yeah, so that way we can bury it up. It's a, like you said, it's a new show every week.
And I really appreciate that, but it also brings up a very cool point, which is you probably don't have to, it's probably a lot less difficult for you to get people on your show that way.
Well, that's a bit of a catch-22, my friend. It's easy to get people on the show, but it's hard to say no to the people I don't want. You know what I mean? I'm not a jerk, but there are just some people that I do not appreciate their comedy, and so I don't want them on my show. So it's kind of – and unfortunately, some of those people are friends. So it's kind of hard to say no to some people.
I appreciate it, and message received.
Right. So, you won't be on anytime soon.
I understand.
I'd love to have the Hob on my show, man, because I have musicians on there. I've never had anybody who toured the Renaissance Festival. That would be great.
Yes, and I do comedy and music, which is when I perform it, it's light comedy because I'm not great, but right. That's not me.
I disagree. I've heard you play the guitar. I think it was the guitar, and you sounded fabu.
Why, thank you. I mean, eventually I'm going to be able to pick up a few tricks, but still, there's enough people paying me to not play. Where it's, I have attention to that.
That's a good gig. If you can get people to pay you not to work, that would be awesome.
Oh, and that's pretty much how I do.
Now, how many festivals do you do here? I'm turning this back on you. I'm making it. I'm kind of turning this into a Road Stories as opposed to a Hob the Troll podcast, a Hobcast. I apologize, but I'm very intrigued.
Do not apologize. I have been doing this show for a couple of years, and nobody's asked me how I'm doing.
Oh, Hob, how are you, sir?
I'm very well. I'm very well. I've been performing at festivals for about 15 years now.
Ooh, that's impressive.
And there were a couple up in Michigan. Like, so I do the one in Holly, the big one in Michigan, the Michigan Renaissance Festival.
Oh, is that like the Lollapalooza of Renaissance fairs?
For me, it is. That's kind of my home show.
Okay.
Every performer has like the home show where they started out doing it and they've been doing it forever, and people just come out to see them. And so that's my home show. There were a couple other ones that I did up in Michigan, some were successful. Some I wish were still successful, and some I parted ways with.
Oh. Ooh. Yeah. Well, that's got to be a tough move.
Well, we'll get to that in a little bit, but I also do the one down here in Florida, and there's a couple at the Bay Area Renaissance Festival, and I've expanded out to a couple more, like Lady of the Lakes, but I also do corporate gigs from time to time.
Ooh, that's it. That's another thing comedians and trolls have in common. We do corporate gigs.
Right. I did a prom once.
That's horrible.
For me, it was not.
Oh, really? Oh, good for you. I rarely hear successful prom performances from comedians.
Well, let's. Do you have one?
I've never done a prom.
Okay, do you mind if I take the time on my own show to talk about the one I did?
I would, and that way you can get it all punched up and ready to do it for my show.
Yeah, okay, cool. So, I was approached by the people at the Renaissance Festival, at the Michigan one, that said, oh, we would like to have a few people kind of volunteer to kind of be just characters walking around, which is usual. I mean, I'm...
At the prom.
Right, at the prom, because it's going to be like a fantasy medieval theme.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I didn't care for my prom.
Right.
I didn't want to go.
Sure.
There was a comic book convention I would have rather gone to, but my mom...
Well, if there was a comic book convention, I'm sure lack of date might have been a problem also.
Yeah, but my mom said, I got a date for you. And I said, oh no. And she turned out to be really, really pretty and nice, but she just didn't want anything to do with me. And in the meantime, I had to spend all this money to go to a thing I didn't want to do.
Oh, sure.
And so it was just like, oh, that was terrible. And when I was asked to do this prom, I said, why not? What's the worst that could happen? And it was great.
Oh, good. That makes me happy.
It was a great prom, too. I'd only been out of Troll High School about a year and a half. So it wasn't like I was old enough to kind of relate.
How many years is Troll High School?
Depends.
Okay.
It's kind of like a homeschool situation until they just get sick of you.
Ah, okay. Perfect. You
think of it. Anyway, but I went to this prom, and they had a place where you could, you know, dance, and there was the big dancing part of it. I guess they'd already eaten.
Right, okay.
A place where you could go and dance, and then there was a place... Like, the whole place was open up so you could just kind of sit at a table. And then out in the courtyard, there was a kid's band playing also.
A band with children playing the instruments.
Well, high school kids, yeah.
Oh, okay, sure, of course.
And I brought my accordion, and they're like, do you want to jam with us? And I said, hell yeah.
Oh, man.
And so I taught, we played Keep On Rockin' in the Free World.
Yes, an excellent accordion song.
Yes!
And I believe Neil Young actually wrote it on accordion.
I wouldn't put it past him.
Yes, very but talented gentleman.
It was great because everybody was really excited to, like, oh yeah, I'm going to party and hang out with a troll. This is really fun. And nobody was judgmental and everybody had a real good time.
Oh, that's great.
And then this is the really cool part about that prom. They were going to have the senior lock-in right afterwards.
Lock-in. Hilarious.
Where, you know, they had, like, and I got to see the gym, and they had one of those, like, inflatable obstacle courses. Mm. There was, like, you know, a trampoline where people wore the sumo outfits. It looked really fun. And I'm like, I would love to hang out with this, but I'm not going to be that creepy guy. You guys go have fun.
Right, right. There's always that creepy guy after high school who hangs out around high school afterwards. He just can't move on.
And I kind of thought that that's what I was appearing to be.
Sure.
To those kids, but they thought it was great.
You're a fun-loving troll, man. I would like to have you hang around my trampoline.
Oh, thank you.
Yes. I kissed my prom date goodnight and didn't talk to her again until 2 years ago when she found me on Facebook.
Oh, so, go on.
Well, we just had her name was Shannon Campbell. Hello, Shannon, if you're listening. Very sweet girl.
Probably a subscriber.
Probably a subscriber. Actually, her last name, what is her last name? Rizzo, I think. I went to high school with a lot of guineas, if you know what I'm saying. That's a racial slur for Italians.
All right.
Okay, I can say that. I'm Italian.
Yes, I'm trying to I'm just trying not to get in your way. I found that is the right thing to do.
And we had a little rough night. We had a rough night. I mostly my fault. The line I remember from my prom was her dragging me out on the dance floor, saying, "I can't believe they're playing the prom's theme song and my boyfriend's in the bathroom smoking pot." So that's pretty much sums up the prom for me.
Mm.
But she's a very lovely lady, and I've told her several times if I did it over again, I would do it completely different.
Well, that's the benefit of hindsight, is it not?
Yes, definitely.
But also, if you could... It goes back to what you were saying about the club gigs and the shows. If you had a chance to do some of those disastrous shows over again, what's it worth? Like, which is worth more, to be able to go and do that, or just to have a really great story at the end?
Oh, I think it'd have a really great story at the end. And if you're smart, and what I tried to do and try to do if I'm ever in that situation is learn from it. So next time it rolls around, I won't have a crappy story, but I will have a good story.
That's right. And that's the other. And let's take this to another thing, is we both get, because you can prepare for something.
Sure.
And you can know that it's coming. And there's different ways that you can handle it. But you, like... Because we also get hecklers.
Oh, that was going to be one of my questions. Really?
Oh, yes. Indeed, we do get hecklers. And like you were saying, that it, for you, you know, they had a couple drinks at dinner, and then they're having the 2-drink minimum. For us, a lot of times, it's, I started drinking at 10 a.m. I am outside. I have been outside in the hot sun all day.
Yeah.
I've had, and you can tell how many drinks they have because they stack their cups.
Oh.
So you just keep seeing, like, a stack of about, like, 6 beers.
Oh, that's terrible.
Like, well, I'm not talking to you, am I? I'm leave you right away. But I think it's the same kind of mentality where they think they're helping.
Right. Oh, yes. Well, I've always said the worst hecklers are the supportive hecklers.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, because generally in our business, you don't get the stereotypical, you suck, or anything like that. That doesn't happen. But you'll get, I call them the supportive hecklers, where they're like, funny stuff, man. Funny stuff. Oh, yeah, I agree. Sure, why not? Ah, this guy's good. And, you know, I mean, they're being supportive, but they're really fucking up your show.
Yes.
And you got to really, you got to take kids... gloves with those guys, because you don't want to alienate the audience who loves you by telling them to shut up.
Right. And see, for me, at some point, there have been a couple of shows where it's like, all right, what's the tactic here? Is it to just kind of, like, calm the situation to, how much work would I have to do to get the audience back?
Right.
What side are the audience on? Are they on my side, and are they tired of this behavior as well?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it just a slight misunderstanding that we can just, you know, just kind of... Because I have no problem if I'm doing a show and something like that happens, just hey, we're all friends here. There's no need for that. I know you're trying to help, but
right,
just let me get through this, and then we'll have a good time later.
Yeah, totally. I utilize the, if I can quote my spiritual advisor, the guy I look up to. Patrick Swayze from Roadhouse.
Oh, yes.
To where he said, be nice until it's time to not be nice anymore. And that's how I handle hecklers. I'm nice until it's time to not be nice.
That movie, my goodness.
It's my church.
It's a way for people to, like, if people have anger problems, watch that movie. You get to see people, like, you see everybody else, like, what if I get into this situation? Well, just don't get into that situation.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Boy, when man, I'm telling you, you can have, life is so much easier when you don't put yourself in situations you shouldn't be in.
Mm-hmm. When he's like, you want to take it out? And then they're like, yeah. And then they go outside and they're just like, all right, you can't come back in.
Yeah.
that's brilliant. That's, you know, that's somehow, sometimes the way you have to handle things. You did not expect me to do as much Roadhouse as I did you?
Yeah. I don't know, for me, as a happily married gentleman with a lovely child, I know. I was impressed, man. I was impressed. I try to avoid situations. Like, I don't go out and party anymore. I don't, you know, I avoid the situations to where I don't get into that trouble. I don't go out to the bars afterwards and have women hit on me, so I don't have to be in that situation. You know, you avoid the situations that can cause trouble. Having said that, last time I worked in Vegas, I was avoiding the situation and a hooker roofied my drink and I passed out.
Sorry that happened.
What?
I said I'm sorry that happened. Are you okay?
I'm better now. Okay, good. It was quite a humorous incident, but
all right. Are you sure it was a? Are you positive it was a lady of ill repute?
The funny thing is, yeah, because when the security came, because I didn't realize she had dropped it in my. I didn't pass out till after the incident. And the security came and pulled us aside, and I told him, like, look, this woman's been, you know, throwing drinks at me. She stole some of my money. I think she's a hooker. And the cop said, oh, really? You think so?
Yeah, I don't put myself into those situations. I mean, there's a lot of shenanigans going on at Renaissance Festival.
Yeah.
But when you're a troll, you don't really get invited to those parties.
Well, I wasn't invited. I'm telling you, I went to a bar in the casino where I was working to have a couple drinks. I picked an empty bar. Mm-hmm. It was just me, three other people, and she sat down next to me and just started in. So it's like, and then as I told the manager of the club the next night, because I really kind of, you know, messed with my head. I've never been roofied before. And I told the manager, I'm like, man, I went out of my way to stay out of these situations. And he's like, yeah, that's what the hookers look for. Yeah. They look for the single guy with the wedding ring sitting alone, and then they go after him.
That's right. Oh, see, the hunter has become the hunted.
Oh, yes, indeed.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, yes.
I think what we're finding is there's a lot of really cool similarities, but there's also enough differences, at least for me anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, we get to do what we love to do.
Well, I mean, isn't that the best part of life, man? If you're lucky enough to get to do what you do. I mean, not to get too serious on this situation, but today is Father's Day, and
it is Father's Day. Yes, yes.
When we're recording this, and I tweeted this, and I said, you know, you have a good life when your wife asks you, what do you want to do on your special day? And you can say, honestly, what I do every day.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm doing. I surfed this morning. I'm going to hang out with my family. I'm doing a podcast and I'm headlining the Improv tonight. That's a great life I find for myself.
Well, it sounds absolutely fantastic. And
it could be a complete nightmare for somebody else.
Right.
People are afraid of the ocean. Speaking in public is one of the biggest fears by the majority of the population. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of divorced people out there. So my day, which I think my perfect day, could be a nightmare for somebody else.
Yeah, I know my perfect day is a nightmare for other people because I am a troll.
What is your perfect day? I'm very intrigued by you, Hob. I hope you don't mind.
No, that's fine. I'm enjoying it.
Okay.
I'm enjoying my day. I like it when it's a nice day at festival. It's not too, you know, it's nice and sunny. There's a nice breeze going through. And the weather, you know, people are out and forth and they're having a good time.
Yeah. Now,
and I get to sing some songs and maybe I'm singing a song that I like to sing that not a lot of other people like to hear. And
like what?
Well, you know, a lot of at festival, a lot of people, they play the regular Renaissance-y songs, and there's only like about a dozen of them.
Right.
Oh, I've heard the Wild Rover a couple of hundred times walking around here. And then they walk by the troll singing on the bridge, and they're like, is that Steely Dan? What the hell is happening? Is he just doing the, yeah, or if I'm doing, I don't know, I'm just trying to think of something, yeah, if I'm singing with my friends and they heard something that they've never heard before, sung by a troll, Yeah.
And I heard you. I'm sorry if I'm interrupting. You're kind of breaking in and out, so I apologize if I'm cutting you off.
No, you're all right. You're coming through clearly.
Okay. The problem is you're not, so I feel like I might be cutting you off, and I apologize. I'm not that rude of a person.
No, I know. Okay. But what were you saying?
I said I heard you do a cover of a song on one of your podcasts when I was listening to this, and it was delightful.
Oh, good. Go ahead.
I'm a closeted musician. I'm not a closeted musician. I'm out, but I'm a recreational musician. I had my aspirations of being a rock star, which I think all comedians do, but that did not pan out. So I love to hear other musicians play, especially if they are a talented troll, which I don't get to say very often.
Why? Thank you. I've found that a lot of it's kind of people will say it about movie stars, but. A lot of comedians want to be musicians, and a lot of musicians want to be comedians.
I agree 100%.
And I'm kind of neither, but both at the same time.
Oh, very deep. That's Patrick Swayze Roadhouse deep right there.
I'm going to do some Tai Chi.
Now, do you perform on a stage? I know your listeners probably know this, and I apologize, but this is my time, so nanny. Do you perform on a stage, or are you on a pathway, or does it vary? Do you have to work your way up to a stage?
It varies. I used to do a full-on stage act show, but now I'd like to be what I call, you know, what's called a lane performer.
Okay.
Which is I find a spot, and I just kind of camp down there, and I figure out the best times in which to perform so that I'm not interfering with other stage acts.
Uh-huh.
But also kind of getting them as they leave certain other stage acts, you know, mm-hmm. starting at the end of other people's set, but not so much that I'm interrupting it.
Sure.
But yeah, I do a little bit of both.
Okay. Would that be more of like a busking situation?
It very much is, okay. Yes. And I very much enjoy it, and I get to sing, and there's a couple of friends of mine who will come and join me in between shows mm. where it's like, oh, I have time between this show and this show, I'll come on by and we'll do a couple of songs.
Oh, fun, man. I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. I love being on the road and running into a friend and, hey, man, come do a guest spot on my show or vice versa. I love that.
I'm so glad that we've gotten to speak so much about just comedy and performing in general. And I know you've been asking me a couple of questions, which I'm more than happy to answer.
I apologize if I was too.
Oh, no.
How often do you get to talk to a troll?
Me? On daily.
Well, I don't.
Well, yeah, now's your chance. Do you have any other
questions? I do have one question. I'm going to be in Florida next week, this upcoming week, performing at the Fort Lauderdale Improv with my good friend Lachlan Patterson. Will you be at a Renaissance Fair anywhere around there?
No, the next Renaissance Fair I shall be performing in, that's up in Michigan in August.
Hmm.
But I'm going to have to walk around some stuff, and I might come down in to Fort Lauderdale myself.
Oh, is there a Ren Fair down there?
No, but my good friend Mari Valeriano's
going to well, you better give me a call, Hob.
Indeed I will.
And I can introduce my. It'll be very nice for my son to meet a troll.
Excellent. Oh, he's going to be is the whole family.
This is one of the few times I get to take my family on the road. my lovely wife is from Fort Lauderdale, so we kind of kill two birds with one stone. I book a week of work there, and we get to see her family.
That's very good.
Yeah.
And I know a bunch of performers with festival who. They also travel with their family
mm-hmm.
a couple months a year. It's like, all right, that's what we're doing for summer vacation. We're doing this festival and this festival.
Oh, wow. Oh, cool.
Mom's going to work at this booth. I'm going to do this, and you can do this and this because I know all the people in the community.
Oh, that's great. That's something that differs in the stand-up world is there's a community, but they don't work together.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You're typically going to get three comedians on one show for a week as opposed to this huge
setting of trolls and ogres and wenches and princes and all that stuff.
Yes.
So I'm very jealous of that. I would love to be able to have a situation where my wife's not a performer. My wife is a amazingly talented costume designer, but she does not like performing at all.
Oh, well, that's very, we could spend a whole time just talking about costuming as well, but you have been a fantastic guest.
Oh, thank you
for joining us here on the Hobcast. Now, where can we find you online?
Well, you can hit me at Murray V on Twitter, MURRAYV on Twitter, because even though trolls can pronounce my name, most humans cannot. So I went Murray V on Twitter, and I just started a fan page on Facebook, which pissed off a lot of my fans because they think I'm not going to be as communicating with them as much, but I promise I will. So if you give me a like at Murray Valeriano Comedy, I also keep my personal one up also. So, and I'm there also. And the Road Stories podcast is weekly. It drops on Sundays. There'll be a new one going up today. You can get that on iTunes, or you can go to roadstories.tv, or you can just Google Road Stories podcast, Murray Valeriano, and it's on Stitcher and all those other great, and it's part of the All Things Comedy Network.
Perfect. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Hob. It was a delight to talk to you, and I hope we can talk and share a glass of mead or grog. I'm not sure what Hobbit would trolls drink.
I'll have what you're having.
Ah, that sounds great.
All right, thanks.
Thank you.
Hob the Troll presents the Hobcast, produced by Steve O'Dockerson and Steve Hager. Our webmaster is April Janowski. Today's episode featured special guest Murray Valeriano of the Road Stories podcast. Follow him on Twitter at Murray V. Hob's theme song is by Corey Eno Ruffin. Like Hob on Facebook, follow him on Twitter at Hob the Troll, and go to hobthetroll.com and click the donate button to keep this show going.
So this is, I think I know what happened. The program I was using was picking up his mic through mine, and then we are just getting, it's not his fault. He did great. It's my fault for using that program, which I'm not going to use anymore. I'm not even going to say what it is, but I think it worked out pretty well. I think, yeah, I'm happy. I'm pleased. And yeah, I wasn't able to see him in Fort Lauderdale. There were other circumstances where I was not able to see him, but I think we're friendly now. I think we're pretty good. Yeah, that's really what you want. You were entertained. You heard some fun stories. You heard about me going to a prom. You heard him talk about his prom. And yeah, that's what we do. What we do in the biz. Talk about stuff. Get to know each other. Friendship. Yeah. Anyway, thank you so much for listening. Like and subscribe on iTunes, all that. Goodbye.